I am so glad to see y'all here. Are you doing okay today? You look good. A little bit of rest, a few days has done good. That's nice. I struggle even mentioning these words, but perhaps I've eaten too much chocolate over the last few days. I know that's maybe blasphemous there in terms of eating, right? We've certainly had a great Christmas and looking forward to a few more days of rest over the next few days. You know, this time of year, there's never a better time to remember, never a better time to look back. And certainly, that's what we do at the end of the year. That's what news stories do. And so if you were to click on CNN.com or some news story and just read top 10 things that happened this past year, it might categorize them, right? You might click on the sports and find out that the lights went off in the Super Bowl. Oh, I remember that. And it was a conspiracy to allow the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, right? Or you might click on and read about Lance Armstrong and how the mighty fall in incredible ways, right? You might click onto some link on the weather and read about how tornadoes ravaged the United States at various times throughout the year and hear those stories. You might read about how the mightiest typhoon in recorded history for wind speed struck our world this past year. You might read about politics, and all you're going to see is Obamacare, 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 right? On every single thing. You might find a few stories about the government shutdown. It's been interesting in our own life as a church. We started off at an elementary school. We ended up in this building. Isn't that awesome? So praise the Lord for what he's doing. We might talk about the way that he's healed many people in our church, the way that many of you are sitting here today. And a year ago, you would have never thought you would be saved. You would have never thought you would be in this building with us today. Praise the Lord for what he's done. But I'm not interested in all of those greater things this morning. I'm interested in one thing. What has God done in your life in 2013? How can we make sense of what has happened with you over this past year, right? I'm interested in making sense of you. What has changed in your life? There are those that are sitting in this room who have had babies this year. Praise the Lord. And those sitting in this room who've lost loved ones this year. Those in this room who've lost your job this year. And equally amount of people in this room who have found a job. And praise the Lord for that. Some of you didn't think you would be living in Texas right now. But you find yourself here in a part of our church. And we praise the Lord for that. Some of you didn't know the Lord a year ago and are just so excited for what God has done in your life. What do we learn when we look back? We learn that things change, right? We learn that if we were to rewind 1 year ago to this day, we wouldn't have guessed half of the things that we listed for our life of what happened over the last year. Things change, and there's nothing that we can do about that, right? What doesn't change? Only one thing. Hebrews 13:8 says, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Jesus is always the same. He's always the same. So here's what we want to do today. We want to lean and stand upon that rock that is Jesus Christ, that is unchanging, to make sense of the things that we see over the last year that are swirling all around us. We're going to do that with a passage in Isaiah chapter 43, starting in verse 1. Now, there are many scholars who believe the last 27 chapters of Isaiah are the greatest writing in all of the Bible. It doesn't take long of getting into the passage to realize why people feel that way. Verse 1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. What a great start, right? In fact, you got a pen around you. Why don't you circle those words, fear not, okay? Why don't you maybe make arrows to those words or sprinkle glitter on top of them, something to remember those. Some of you need to receive that message, fear not, thus says the Lord. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Wasn't that cool? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks so. Isn't that awesome, church? Yeah. You know, this is one of those paragraphs that you just like write on the mirror in your bathroom or something, because this is like pep talk from the Lord right here. You are the Lord's. Some of you don't realize that yet. You belong to the Lord. That's what he's making really clear right here. First of all, you are his creation. He's your creator. If nothing else was spoken in the Bible, that says that you are the Lord's. What does that say of you? It says that you are beautiful. It says that you have intrinsic value in you, that God had a plan and a purpose when he made you. And who are we as his creation to look back at the creator and say, why did you mess up with me? Not a mistake. Are you kidding me? What a lie that the world would feed us. We're his creation. It says this, that he has shaped you. Right, so right now, he is forming you. So when we look back over 2013 and the roller coaster that every year is, the good and the bad, God is using those things to shape your life, to form you. God can get the glory for every part of your life this past year. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. It says this, that he has redeemed you. Man, I love this. You know why? Because that very idea, redemption, God is paying a price to get us from somewhere. So that very idea means that the world, unbeknownst to so many of us, has us in its clutches, all right? Sin has us in its clutches. We don't realize it, but we are a victim to this world and the sin that's around us. But God has paid the price that is sufficient to set us free from the clutches of this world, to set us free from the clutches of sin itself. Boy, that's found in Jesus Christ. His name is Redeemer. I love this. This is cool stuff. All right. So not only are you the Lord's, his creation, he's shaped, he's redeemed you, he calls you by name. He knows your name. He calls you by name. You know as well as I do, husbands, the great way to sleep on the couch and be slapped by your wife is to refer to her as woman, right? Woman. How stupid would we be as a husband if we said that ever, right? No, we call her by name and we call her by nicknames, then pet names, because it shows the love, it shows the intimacy. God knows the number of hairs on your head. It's personal. Some of you think of God as this impersonal thing, and he's not concerned with where I am, but it's personal with God. How beautiful that is. You know, I love clicking on the websites this time of year about top 10 stories from 2013. Number one right now on almost every list has been either Obamacare or the Boston Marathon bombings. And for me, when I look at the Boston Marathon story, Boston is like a foreign nation to me. You know, I've never been there. I've never had the privilege of being to the Northeast. I've seen the marathon on TV before and certainly watched the coverage of the bombings in Boston. But now that they've had time to compile all these stories, it's very personal, right? And so, man, even yesterday I was clicking on and reading, my father and I were running the marathon together, and we had prepared for more than a year, and we had saved up money to fly into Boston and race this marathon together all the way from Wyoming. And I was faster than my father, so I was already across the finish line, and I was waiting, and in about 20 minutes, he was going to come across the finish line, and before he could get there, things started exploding, and chaos ensued all around. Blood was everywhere. And you read these stories of this time of year, especially, and you realize it was personal for that guy, wasn't it? You see, God looks back at 2013 for you, not in some foreign land type of way, but it's personal. Look at what he says in this passage. He says, when you're in the waters, He's going to be with you. You see, there are times that we look around and we're just surrounded by water and we're sinking, right? I'll be with you in that time, he says. But there's going to be moments of your life where you feel like you're in a raging river and you open up your eyes and before you can think, you think that it's going to sweep you away. But I'm with you in those times. There are going to be times that you wake up and find that you're in an experience where it's like hell on earth and the fire is all around you and it's too hot and you think you're going to be consumed. Church, this is why God is our Savior. In all of these things, God is our Savior. That's what Isaiah is getting at right here. Well, let's keep going. Verse 3, he says, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not. Just a recurring thing. Why don't you circle that? Fear not right there. Maybe you can write arrows pointing to it. Maybe sprinkle glitter on it, right? Something that gets your attention. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name. Well, that's us, right? Why don't you raise, if you call in the name of Jesus Christ, just raise your hand, right? That's us in this room. So this passage that we're reading is for us, much more than just Jews. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and I made. See, he starts off with this idea of the ransom. And I love this. This is like straight out of a Tom Clancy novel, a murder mystery. There's a ransom, right? And I wonder, parents in particular, if you could think of your worst fear for your little children, what would it be? I don't even have to think. It's somebody that takes my kids, right? Oh, just the nightmare. Can you imagine in that spot that you get a phone call from somebody that says, I have your kids. I have your son. I have your daughter. And it's going to be bad for you. And it's going to be bad for them. Unless. Boy, what would you do in that situation? Anything it took to get my child back. Take my life in exchange. You want $1 million? I don't have $1 million, but I sure am going to put forth the effort to drum it up from every person I know to get my son or my daughter back. You want my house? It's yours. You want my cars? They're yours. What can I do to get my child back, right? Because we would do anything in that situation. Now, can you imagine the love of God for us as a father? He says that he wants to ransom us. So that we are held captive by sin and captive by our own lies and by the own choices that we make. But God, in his great love for us, says, I will give anything for you, even my son, to die on a cross for you so that you can be free, so that you can live. Well, if we look again in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 9, verse 15, the Apostle Paul describes it this way. It says, therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, a new way of doing things because of Jesus. It's in his grace. It's in his love. So that those who are called, remember, he knows our name, every one of us, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions under the first covenant. Your Bible translation might actually say the word ransom right there. See, that's what ransom is. Since a death has occurred which has ransomed us from being held captive by our own sin. Boy, praise the Lord that he loves us so much. You know what's amazing to me in this passage? So God knows that Israel is going to be taken captive to other lands, that Judah is going to be taken captive. And in advance, he's writing about it. Hey, you're going to be taken captive, but don't be afraid. By my voice, I'm going to bring you back. Some of you don't understand your sin in your life. You look back on 2013 and you beat yourself up over divorces, over problems at work, over times that you were a jerk. And you say, I'm a lousy Christian. Don't you realize that God knows in advance that we're dumb, that we're going to make mistakes? He knows that in advance, right? And he loves you anyway. And he still sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin. Even though in advance he knew after you were going to become a Christian, you were still going to mess up. And he still sent his son. And he still paid the price of our ransom to set us free. Don't beat yourself up over sin. Seek the Lord and let him teach you how to be an overcomer. And then when you fall again, praise the Lord that Jesus' death still covers over your sin. See, God knew in advance that Israel was going to be taken away. What did the Israelites do? They put their hope in kings. And then they panicked when that time came. What do we do with our sin? We put our hope in ourselves that I'm going to be perfect, that I can overcome this on my own. And then when we fail, we're devastated by it, aren't we? You know, one of the biggest stories of 2013 to me was our new pope. I say our, like we follow the pope. It was the new pope, Pope Francis. And I tell you what, from all outward appearances, I love the guy. I think that he's doing a fantastic job as a pope. I'm married to a Catholic family, and so this is very important to the family. But we saw this year something that hadn't been seen in 500 years, a pope stepping down. All right, it just didn't happen where you retire or resign as a pope. You die as a pope. So, man, in the family and in the world around, what's going to happen? The pope has stepped down. Is there going to be life tomorrow, right? Popes can't do this. Is he giving up on us? No, he's just really old, right? And why are people panicking? Because they put their hope in a person, in Pope Benedict. And man, I love how Francis, he's saying stuff right now of quit worrying about these bigger things that y'all are worried about and go serve your brother. Feed those who are hungry. Help the poor. Man, that's a message that has been needed for many, many years. See, so people put their hope in this person and they were panicking. Why do we submit ourselves to God? Because of this passage right here. Man, he is in control like no other has ever been in control. God has sovereignty over things that we can't even imagine. Look at the text right here. Here's what God does. All right, people are taken away. God calls and it's made right. That's what God does. He speaks. And what belonged to Israel, what belonged to Jews, to their nation, returned at the sound of his voice. You imagine Israel's situation. You know that little tiny country that the whole world stumbles over. They look to their north in Isaiah's day, and they have Assyria that's ready to just sack them and take them away. Okay, well, we look to the east. Well, there's Babylon, the Chaldeans. I can't do that. No way. They're going to exile us. Well, let's look to the south. There's Egypt. They hate us. They've been ransacking us for years. Well, let's look to the west, west of the Mediterranean. That's where the Philistines came from. They're like our arch rival and biggest nemesis. But God looks to those areas. Even in advance, he says, north, give up. And what belonged to Israel returned. South, give up. What belonged to Israel returned. Boy, some of you don't understand what I'm talking about yet. Some of you have been in submission and fear to things in your life that have happened in 2013. Some of you had experiences this past year that rocked you to the core. And you're living in fear, are living in submission to that event. Some of you look to the north and it's your job. And you think, I hate my job. And I don't even know what tomorrow's going to hold for my job. And so I'm going to look to the south, but my family is south, right? And my family is screwed up. And we're divorced and we don't like each other. And we gossip about each other and I don't know what the deal is. And so I look to the east, but it's my past. And it's knocking on the door. Jonathan, you've been an idiot most of your life. You call yourself a pastor, so you look to your future. Well, that's uncertain in the West, right? Guys, what I'm telling you, you want to make sense of 2013, then we've got to grab hold of that hand of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who is sovereign, the one who loves us, even in the midst of the sin, and let his voice speak to the North and say, North, give up. And let those things and those pressures that have rested upon our heart, that have immobilized us and held us captive, even as Christians, let those unwind at the sound of Jesus' voice. Let those be lifted off of our shoulders at his command. Where we look to that north because his voice has said, give them up. And suddenly I'm not identified by my job anymore, but by who Jesus has spoken that I am and his value in my life. I look to my family and I know that that's not the end. That the case and the way that they are right now, that's not the end. And through God, there's hope for tomorrow. I look at my past and God has redeemed my past. I look to my future and he's in the future. He's holding it in his hands. Boy, and that weight that is upon me lifts off. Some of you need to let the pressure of what is holding you captive as a person be loosed, be set free by the word of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ. North, give up. Wouldn't it be so cool in a few days you return to your job and you're driving to work and you realize, man, I'm panicking about what's about to happen, and you just shout out, North, give up. And then you paint your face like Braveheart. But that's a sign. That's another thing, and maybe my own personal issues there, right? Because that's the power of Jesus in your life. Let's keep going. Verse 8. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes. Who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right. And let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses. Church, this is for you. You are the witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know, that's up here in your mind, and believe me, that's in your heart right here, and understand, that's in our will, that we set before us every day, that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Now, I know you got a pen close by. I just want you to circle that. There is no Savior besides me, okay? Or draw arrows, sprinkle glitter. You want to know that right there. The Lord says this, I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declare the Lord, and I am God. Also, henceforth, I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Boy, that's awesome. God is just cool. I tell you what, there is none like him. You realize something that scares me a little bit in that first sentence. You can be blind even though you have eyes. Church, you can be deaf even though you have ears. Some of us look back in this past year and we say, God, where were you when I needed you most? Like a blind man looking at an event. Some of us look past and say, God, how can you get glory from anything that happened? Like a deaf man who cannot hear. If you don't have the Lord as the center of your life, the center of your mind, your heart, your will, then you're never going to be able to make sense of events that have taken place in your past. You're never going to be able to have eyes to see what has the Lord been doing. Isaiah says, you are witnesses for the Lord. You are witnesses of the Lord. You see, those are witnesses that seek God and they see how he has been at work in our life over this past year, in the good and the bad, to learn how to give him glory for everything that has taken place and let his will be done. So we know in this passage that God is eternal. So we know he was with you in 2013 because he's never had a beginning. He's never going to have an end. He was here in 2013. You can't say that he abandoned you, that he wasn't there. So how is God going to get the glory in those situations where we think he left us? I don't know. Sorry about that. I don't know for your particular situation. But I know he can be glorified. I know it probably starts with fear not. It's not coincidence that the Lord repeats that message over and over. Don't be afraid to ask God, where were you? And then don't be afraid to listen at his response. To say, here's where I was. I was holding your hand. Here's where I was. My word was in your heart. I was in that song on the radio. I was in that call from your friend. God, where were you? Look at what I'm shaping for your life for 2014 because of this event that happened in 2013. Look at how I've been at work this whole time. Church, we need eyes to see what God has done. We need ears to hear what God has done to give him the glory. In those situations, what does God do? I believe that when you ask him these things, you're going to find three traits of God at work. See, it says that I declared and saved and proclaimed. And I believe he's going to do those three things for you. Even at the end of this year, he declares over your life. See, we start asking him, God, what is this about? He's going to declare some things. You know what I think he's going to declare? That sin is awful in your life. Boy, he's declared that for me numerous times, on many occasions, that we have a sin problem and we have a great need for him. And even in those situations that we didn't understand, we're going to see where sin got a hold of us and used us in ways that betrayed us. See, he declares, but not only does he declare, he says, fear not. So we don't have reason to be afraid of that sin or afraid of future mistakes because Jesus saves. It says that he saves. Fear not, I am your Savior. But God, look at what happened in 2013. Why do you think they call him Savior? He didn't come to save the perfect. He came to save the sick, came to save those who needed a doctor. Who were full of sin. Man, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, when you start seeking the Lord for this past, he's gonna declare your sin, and then he's gonna tell you, that's exactly what I died for. So that you can know my love for you, that I'm still with you, that I still call you by name. He declares, he saves, and then he proclaims. You know what he's gonna proclaim? Himself into your life. Hey, Jonathan, this is who you were in 2013, but that's not the man that you're going to be for this coming year. I want you to be my man. I'm going to proclaim my voice into you, my heart into you, my will into you. This is the woman that you were in 2013, but that's not who I want to proclaim for you in the new year. Listen to my voice. Open up your eyes and see what I have prepared for you. Fear not, I am with you. Do you know one of the greatest things of this past year for our nation that has gotten very little press coverage but probably has more of an impact than anything else is oil and gas? You realize that we are in an oil and gas revolution in 2013 that nobody saw coming. There's people that work in this field that could testify better than I can. Do you realize right now and in the coming months, there is a greater oil boom in Texas than there has ever been in the history of Texas? The size of oil fields that are being discovered, people didn't even know that they were there. And I'm going to totally mess this up, but if you were to go back a year ago and listen to the predictions about what was going to happen with oil and natural gas, everyone missed it. Not by like a few barrels of what we're going to find, but by like millions of barrels that could be produced. They missed it so poorly with what is going on. Could it be in 2013, when we look back, that we look back and we see the surface, right? We see this is what happened and this is what happened. But could it be that God is preparing a revolution underground, below the surface, that you can't see, that just at the right time when we yield our lives and submit to Him in this coming year, He says, I'm going to burst forth and see I am doing a new thing in your life. And that old that you stumbled with, that you struggled with is no more. Behold, the new has come. Look at what's underneath the surface and look how I've positioned things to do my greatest work. Fear not, for I am with you. I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior, and I will call you by name. Father, how we love you. And thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings. Thank you that through you, we can make sense of things that are difficult, things that have happened in our past. Lord, may we have eyes to see you and ears to hear you. May we not have eyes and be blind, or ears and be deaf. But Father, open us up to see how you are at work in our lives so that we can give you glory in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.